Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Turns out the rapture didn't work. So, as a result, we recommend being like Frank Andrusowitz, Sean Priest, and Terry Davis, and sign up for patreon.com/TMS today. Coming up on the morning stream, I don't live for fun, bro.
None of the nudity.
You lost me at cowboy.
Moret slip smack.
Red on air arms.
Not Chechnya's tempo.
All up in the good wife.
Babies smell like what we dip them in.
Isn't there a cowboy named Space something?
Ramazan. Whoa, back, Betty.
Why do my eyes hurt because I like really wanted to know?
Frankenstein's werewolves and shit. Oh my.
Lance Bass residency.
Did they gleam the cube?
Luscious beards with Travis and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I brought you a gift of tobacco.
Attractively finished in a gift box.
This one would make a cute gift for a man named Steve.
When is a gift not a gift?
The Morning Stream. I am your father's brother's nephew's cousin's former roommate.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for Tuesday, April 9th, 2024. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Scott, and all who are listening to us.
That's right. Whoever you may be, wherever you may go.
I didn't know where I was going to go with that. I just went there.
I liked it. It was a little song, sing song. I liked it. It was nice.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that at all.
Real quick here. See, the 10th now, I'm being told. This is just in, although I think it popped last night. But
so tomorrow.
The tomorrow, 10th, yeah. Yeah. It looks like they're dropping that that Fallout show early.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. Yeah. Is it? And it's Amazon, right? So we're getting probably all of it all at once?
Yes. So sometime Prime's back and forth on that. They'll do some week to week, some not. But in this case,
Bosch was week to week and it drove me nuts.
Yeah. Bosch was great, dude. No, I forgot.
You haven't watched any Legacy, have you?
No, I gotta get to that. But you know the Bosch guy, Titus Welliver or whatever.
Titus Welliver, yeah. Uh-huh. Man in Black from Lost.
I forgot he was all up in that Good Wife business that Kim's been watching.
Oh, I didn't know that. Really?
Yeah, he's like
he's all up in the Good Wife.
Yeah, he's some kind of evil district attorney guy, and he's great. Mm. He's very good in it.
That's interesting because even though it's funny because he plays a relatively bad guy on Lost.
Yeah.
I won't say more than that because even people that we are very close to are currently doing a watch through of Lost, one of whom has not seen it. Mm. And I'm just excited because they keep telling me like episodes that they get to and all that.
That's great.
But because of how chaotic good he is on Bosch Legacy, I can't picture him as a bad guy.
Mm. Yeah, it's hard to put a pin on him. Even when he's playing a raw bad guy, he's got like a, I don't know, that's what makes him unique. He's a very unique actor. It's a very interesting guy. And he's really good on it. Also, Pedro Pascal showed up as a prosecuting attorney for like 10 episodes. Didn't see that coming.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Wow. Yeah. That's a bunch of good folks on that.
No, that show is a rotating door of famous people. It's crazy how many people are on there. Anyway, Brian, I got a little test for you this morning.
Yeah. Oh, let me ask you before you do that, though.
Yeah.
Really quick. Do you actually keep like an app or something that has your, these are the things I've been told to watch and I need to check out?
I do. I have a huge list.
You do.
Yeah.
Gigantic. Do you look at it ever? Do you?
I do. Yep. I look at it all the time. For example, here, I'll tell you what I got on here. I put a lot of our recommendals on it. Not all, but a lot of them. Where is my list?
Just the ones that get to you.
Yeah. So like this
one. The ones you're like, oh yeah. Okay. That does sound like it's up my alley.
Yeah. There's a documentary on plagiarism I want to watch. There's one called Ink on Freebie I want to watch. There's this thing from, let's see, the new Star Blazers anime. I want to watch that. Oh, and I watched one of these. I can take it off. Jodorowsky's Dune has been on this list forever.
I watched that Ink on Freebie.
How was it?
If it's the thing I'm thinking of, it felt so weird, distractingly low budget. Father and daughter are thrust into a fantastical dream world battle between forces of good and evil in this allegorical tale of love, loss, and the search of blah, blah, blah. This was a movie. I sat through the whole thing, and it was like, oh, no, I didn't. Continue watching. 88 minutes left. So I only made it through 88 of the 1 hour and 46 minute runtime. Mm. And I had a real difficult time getting through it.
Like low budget, crappy.
Yeah, it felt like a student film, but it's got 221 like reviews and it's 4.5 stars. Maybe I need to give it another chance.
I can't remember who told me about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't either. Somebody recommended it here, or I guess there'd be an easy way to tell who recommended it to us.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember who told me.
We're talking about a movie called Ink, and it's on Freevee, which means it's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah. Also, let's see.
Yeah.
Or the Freevee app, if you have that. That'll work.
Or the Freevee app, yeah.
Yeah.
Freevee.
Where's this other one that I wanted to see? Oh, Frontier. I don't remember what that is on Netflix. I have a lot of these are just names and then a link.
I know. See, that's the other thing is like I try to group them. We use just notes. I just use the notes app. And the reason I do that is because I can share it with Tina and she can add stuff to it as well. Mm-hmm. And so I'll put in here like Monsieur Spade, AMC Plus, binge after 218. Because I know that like all the episodes are going to be available after that date. Death and Other Details, binge after 3.5 on Hulu. But then we've got Gavin and Stacey on here like three times. Mm. I think because she added it, I added it, and then we've got it in a separate place. But it is a lot of recommendals, and it's other things that we've been meaning to go back to that we've watched the first season of or second season of. Tokyo Vice is on here, and I know that's...
Oh, that's on my list too. Yeah, it's right here.
Second season, yeah.
Yep, I've been wanting to see that for a long time. Why do you ask? You were asking if I had a list and...
Oh, just because we were talking about, you asked if, like the Fallout thing. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh yeah, I need to put that on my list as a thing to watch. And
oh, right,
that's
right.
That's why I asked you about that.
Yeah, it's, that's going to be great. I have really high hopes about it. I mean, it may be terrible. I don't know. I don't know what to expect tomorrow. I'm going to binge that shit though. I'm going for it.
Are you? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. I'm going right in.
You can start probably binge it tonight after 10 p.m. I think.
Yeah.
If you think that's what the
stay up and do that, maybe. I don't know. Anyway,
Fear Andrew says the second season is the final season of Tokyo Vice. So it is it's a two and done, right?
I think it got canceled, didn't it? Something
Did it?
Like that.
Okay.
Thought so.
It's a bummer.
Yeah. Well, these shows that don't get watched.
Yeah, it's true.
Let's see. Does it say it's canceled? Yeah. Fan favorite star unpacks season 2 finale, Fate and Future. Finale hits all the sweet spots, even though we want a season 3.
I see what you mean for your Rangers. Okay, season 2 is complete. Okay, I thought you meant the series was finished now.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good.
Maybe they are still going. I thought it said something about cancellation. That'd be great. Well, anyway.
They promoted pretty well, so hopefully it's doing well for them. Yeah.
Yeah, I like everything about what I hear about that, so kind of my jam. All right, Brian, I'm going to test you on something.
Yes, test me. I did not do any pre-looking or anything like that.
Excellent, because had you done so, there would be real repercussions.
There'd be hell to pay.
I just thought this was interesting. I found a list of what is purportedly the highest grossing horror film franchises and film series of all time. This is a top 20 thing. And I'm asking you rather than say Monica or somebody who's really into horror movies, because I think she'd just know this. I think she'd just know it.
Know this. I am so, I like horror films. Not nearly as much as Monica, not as much as you, but I do like horror films. And so I feel like this is a fun list.
All right. And I'll give you a couple of hints here. We are talking about a range, the top 20, a range of 2 billion or so, a little more than 2 billion is the top end of the franchise again, not single films, franchises. Mm-hmm. 2 billion at the top end, 500,000 at the bottom end, okay, for the top 20.
Cool. Okay.
Give me tell me some that you think you know. What do you think is up here?
Yeah, and
this
is funny because part of our mystery date, this somehow connects to our mystery date, so this is actually kind of fun. All right, so I'm going to say Friday the 13th.
All right, let me take a
look. Tons of films. It's got to be up there.
It is actually not in there.
No way. Okay, nope. Well, that's
no
good.
Friday all right. the 13th. Yeah.
Let's say the Freddy Krueger, the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise.
That would be correct at number 19.
No, so, wow.
Almost out of the top 20. Yeah, but that one did eke out your other classics.
Is Alien considered horror? Is it on the list?
Well, you went from 19 all the way to number 2. So nice job.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so nice job. So far, 2 out of 20.
All right. The Halloween franchise?
That would be correct at number 11.
Wow.
Right in the middle.
It's really just because Friday the 13th films have just put out such garbage, I think.
Plus, it was, they kind of stopped doing them around the time that big box office was even a thing. Yeah. So you wouldn't have as much earning capability. Whereas Nightmare on Elm Street, kind of the same problem, except it just barely got into there.
Yeah, that's true. And the list is probably going to be much heavier weighted on newer stuff, I'm guessing. We'll get
it is.
So Saw.
Saw's number 5. Nicely done.
Number 5. Okay.
Yeah. Below Alien, though.
Below Alien. Below Surprisingly Alien, yeah. Below Alien. But I guess, the Alien movies attract both a horror audience and a sci-fi audience. So that makes sense.
Sure.
All right. So what's the one with the husband and wife, Farmiga? Is it Insidious? Is that the Insidious? It's the Annabelle series.
It's the Conjuring universe, I believe is what you're looking for.
Conjuring universe. Okay,
and I'm going to give that to you. That's currently number 1 at $2.4 billion. Dollars. Yeah, lots
okay.
of money. The highest grossing in that... I should be telling you this because this bit's interesting. The highest grossing film in that got the really bumped up their numbers was The Nun with $365 million.
Interesting.
In Alien, it was Prometheus with $403 million. And let's see, you said Saw 3 was the big one there, $164 million. And in
Halloween, what was the Halloween? Please don't tell me it was like the most recent Michael Myers return or whatever.
I mean, it says Halloween.
Yeah.
With $259 million, but that might not be the original. That might
probably not the reboot, but the
kind of soft reboot.
Called the same name.
Yeah.
Oh, how about... So Scream probably wouldn't be on the list, or I guess it would be, because it's still horror, even though it's comedic horror. Right?
Congratulations. It is on there. Number 8.
Wow.
Highest grossing is the original, 1996, $173 million. It's actually one of the few here. I'll tell you this. It's one of the few here with the original being the one that made the most money.
That's interesting. Yeah.
So far you are 6 out of 20.
Okay. Well, I said Insidious earlier. Is that a franchise or has there only been one Insidious movie?
It's a franchise, and you are correct with number 13.
Okay.
That one's highest grossing for that one was Insidious The Red Door at $188 million. I've seen none of those, so I have no idea.
I haven't seen any of them either. All right. The Exorcist just had that new film come out. Did that... Bump it up? Probably not.
It did. Nicely films. Done. You did it. Exorcist 14.
Okay.
The highest grossing is The Exorcist. There's another original. I don't know if that's adjusted for inflation or if it's over time or whatever, but $441 million for that.
Cool.
So far you're doing real good, actually.
Good. This is where I think of, like, when we see a trailer in before whatever we're watching at the theaters, this is where Tina looks at me and says, no. It's like, no, I'm not. Yeah.
Let you know right away. That.
Yeah. Chucky. I know Chucky's, has he had enough stuff in the new era to put Chucky up there?
I do not see Chucky.
Okay. No Child's Play franchise.
No Child's Play. Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking for Child's Play and Chucky both, and there's nothing. Yeah,
there
nothing
hasn't
there.
Been anything new except for TV shows, right? Or has there been a new...
There's no new movies that I'm aware of. There were new movies, but I don't think they were made any kind of dent. They may have been direct video. But yeah, that TV show, and they're not counting that, any revenue from that, so...
Yeah, right. Okay. Let's see. I think... Hostel. I know there were a couple hostels, but I can't imagine. Oh, what about Terrifier? Because there were two of those. They were both recent. They might have made a lot of money.
Terrifier.
Probably not box office money.
I wouldn't think so. Not on here. They're very cult favorite, but I don't think they break through like that. Not
like,
yet,
like
anyway.
Barbarian. Even though Barbarian's not a franchise, just one film, but...
Not on here. That made money.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because there was that more recent one that came out for that.
Surprisingly, not on here.
Not on the list yet.
I thought for sure it would be. I really did think it would. I don't know why, because they've made, five big budget versions of this thing?
Yeah.
Seems like it'd be on here, but because some of these I can't believe are on here.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I might be getting to the extent of my... knowledge here on this one.
They also put a couple I would classify as kind of like Alien, a little more action sci-fi,
or just outside of the horror genre.
I'd say more sci-fi than action. I'll give you one of these. Number 12, okay. Predator is on here.
Oh, really? Okay.
And the highest grossing Predator movie, if you had to guess, what do you think it is?
Oh, geez. Please tell me it's not. Well, all right. Let's say it's. Would they count Aliens versus Predator as a Predator movie?
Yes. And that's the one. $172 million. Crazy, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of depressing. I don't like that fact. It's awful.
Right. Let's see. So there's one more sci-fi one. I feel like I want to try and get that. But I definitely wouldn't put Predator, even a secondary genre. I don't know if I would say horror film.
Yeah, to me, that's not a horror film. And neither is, there's a couple here that are like that I'm just like, come on, but whatever.
Let's see. Nothing new. I'm trying to think of what scares me. And,
well, the surprising thing is there's only one property on here. It's probably give it away, but there's one property on here that is Stephen King related.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
What do you think that is?
As a franchise. It, of course.
That is correct. It is fourth. Yeah. Fourth on the list. Yeah, $701 million, just shy of a billion. They did real good.
Wow. What about nothing new from Amityville, right?
No Amityville.
We've had a movie in the last 20 years, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing like that. Omen, like those are all too old and untouched. Although that new one looks like it might do well, but...
Huh. All right.
I'll give you the rest
of
these.
Tapping out. Yeah, I'm tapping out.
At number three, Resident Evil.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. 100, let's see. $1.2 billion.
When was the last Resident Evil movie?
I think that may have been the final chapter, which was a few years ago. $312 million for that.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm surprised, honestly, that one's up there, because those movies are all kind of uniformly bad.
Yeah. Yeah. What about Underworld? I guess that's
definitely not on here.
That's not considered. That's not considered horror either. Probably.
No, but if some of these are, that may as well be. Let's see, Hannibal. And the reason they listed as Hannibal and not like The Science of the Lambs or something is because the movie Hannibal, the one that Ridley Scott directed, is the one that made all the money. $351 million.
That's the one
million.
That actually. Okay, and it is the Hannibal franchise,
right?
You know, it's like a. It's kind of like what we've done with Game of Thrones. They're not the Game of Thrones books. There's the Song of Ice and Fire books.
Right.
And Game of Thrones just happened to be the first one.
That's exactly it. Dracula. That's a weird one because Van Helsing's your number one at $300 million. And Van Helsing, I wouldn't call a Dracula movie.
Yeah, plus...
I mean, I know his whole origin is he goes after Dracula as a vampire hunter.
Sure.
But that movie is that's a group film. That's got Frankenstein's monster and a werewolf and all the shit.
Well, and also it's, I mean, I guess it's franchise. It's not all one story like the Friday the 13th and the Freddy Krueger stuff, like where it's all
right.
The Annabelle stuff. So
I guess you can count it. It's close to $1 billion overall over time. Average per film, $60 million. But Van Helsing at a $300+ million, that's crazy. That movie sucked.
It really did.
It was bad. Yeah,
that was so bad that I remember watching it for Film Sec, and that's all I remember.
Yeah, no kidding. That's terrible. Scary Movie at number 9.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, see, now that's... I was ruling that out because I thought, well, you know, Scream felt like a stretch because it's so parody. But Scary Movie is... Full on parody.
Straight parody.
Does not belong in a horror list.
It's never been more straight parody. It may as well say Airplane is a great disaster movie.
I mean, I think one of them did have one of the Zucker brothers involved, the Scary Movies.
Oh, I think you're right. That's where they ended up. Paranormal Activity.
Have Leslie Nielsen, and that's, you know,
yeah,
that should be the sign.
That's your sign. Number 10, Paranormal Activity series at number 10.
Oh, I forgot about those. Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, that's a good one for the list.
Almost 900 million.
I haven't seen a single one of those either.
I haven't either.
The Paranormal Activity movies.
Those kind of things, cameras sitting there while weird shit happens in the background, those freak me out.
Yeah.
I don't like them.
Too, because it feels too... Feels too.
I don't like it.
Real life, like.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
And what's funny is, I don't mind found footage movies. I just can't do like stationary security cam. I have something about it. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because you could just as easily look at your door ring bell and go, or doorbell and go, oh, what was that?
Yeah. Weird movement? I'm seeing movement. What's that? Oh, yeah. Crap. Yeah.
I don't like that. Even though I don't believe in any of this bullshit, it still scares me. Halloween. Oh, we did. Let's see. Predator, Insidious, The Exorcist. You had a real run there on 10 through 14. Let's see. Final Destination at 15.
Final Destination. Wow.
Yeah. 600 and something million. The Ring. The Ring is all about the first Ring movie at 250.
That thing was a juggernaut. That might have reinvigorated the horror movie genre. Like, basically... that style of horror movie, because we had been prior to that point really leaning into the slasher, the Freddies, the Jasons, the Mike Myers and stuff, and Ring and Let the Right One In, and what was the one, was that Let the Right One In with there was a Japanese remake?
Well, there was an English remake, so the Swedish one and was called Let the Right One In, and then the one we got was called Let Her In.
Okay.
And that had more tets, lip smack. What's her name? The kick-ass girl,
Chloe Grace Moretz.
That's the one. She was in it.
Like more lip smack. Is that what you call her?
She's got big lips. They're big.
She does have big lips.
It's just something I noticed.
Full lips.
That's right. Full lips.
Got. Yes.
By the way, that original Ring film, PG-13.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's
weird. That's weird to me.
That is weird to me, too. Yeah.
I guess that probably helped them make a ton of money. I don't know.
Yeah, actually.
Number 17, A Quiet Place, did real well overall.
Oh, see? Yeah, that's... I wouldn't have even...
You only got two of those. And that's a lot more science fiction than horror, right? Like, it is horror. Yeah. It's scary, but it's more like...
I'd say it's more horror than Predator. I would say that belongs on the list more than Predator
does.
Because I see Predator as just a straight up... sci-fi alien movie.
Yeah, and that's again, and that's my problem with the next one. I Am Legend is number 18, and that's less horror to me than it is.
And that's barely a franchise. It's one movie that's a remake of another movie.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if that counts on here because you also have that with what's the other one here? Well, I guess it counts with things like Halloween, Hannibal, I mean, they're all kind of a thing. I don't think of it as a sequel. I think of it as a remake, right?
It was a remake. Omega Man was the original. I think Omega Man, is that right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, let me make sure this is right. 589 million total box office for that quote unquote franchise of I Am Legend. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I Am Legend made 585. So what that says is $4 million is from the original movie? Like, what's that $4 million from?
Yeah, that's
weird.
That is weird. Oh, was the have we gotten to all of them? Is the 28 Days Later?
No, not on here. It should be because I love that one.
Those belong. If that's if we're calling I Am Legend a horror movie, then the 28 Days Later series is way more of a horror movie with the same kind of elements.
I agree. As, it would be on here if it made that much money, but it, yeah, it didn't.
Yeah.
The Purge at number 20. With The Purge or
The Purge.
The first.
Still have not seen a single Purge episode because I feel some days like I'm living in
it. I saw Purge Part 2. I don't know why I didn't see the first one, but I saw the second one and I quite liked it. It had Frank Grillo in it and he was good.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I like him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, so lifting, you know, we told lifting story in pre-show or talked about lift, but I just see people now who, I don't know, get tired of waiting at a red light and decide they're just going to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had that video that I shared of the guy flying through it, but now it's like yesterday had one person who was next to me and waiting at a red light. He just gave up waiting and just went through it.
Wow.
It's like, I don't think you just can't decide that all of a sudden the lights don't mean anything, you know,
yeah,
that the rules are all of a sudden.
We should be able to do like a citizen's arrest or something. It's like you can't.
Something. It's like, I'm not a Boy Scout, but seriously, like, come on.
Yeah.
There are rules here for a reason.
Follow the law.
Follow the law.
Jeez. All right. If you had to guess, highest grossing film of 1931 when we started tracking horror films, what do you think the highest grossing film was that year? And what it's, I'll tell you what its worldwide gross is in a second because it's hilarious to me.
Well, I mean, 1931. So we're looking at one of the original Universal, either Frankenstein or Dracula.
You got it with Frankenstein. You nailed it.
Frankenstein. Okay.
Nailed it. $12 million worldwide.
Wow.
Yep. It's not bad by their day terms, but still, wow. Then if you jump to last year, what was 2023's top horror movie, grossing horror movie of the year?
Of last year?
Yeah. This one's a little tricky.
And is it a true horror film, or is it going to be one of those where I like asterisk it?
I'm going to say it is a true horror film for those who find the things in it horrifying.
Okay.
And the reason I say it that way is because personally.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let's say it's like
a documentary about the election.
No. No. It's a movie with supposedly scary stuff in it. Let's see if the chat gets this.
Oh, people are saying Megan in the chat. That seems really good.
Was Megan last year?
I thought Megan was 22.
I thought it was too. I thought 2022 was Megan. So that doesn't count.
Oh yeah, the Five Nights at Freddy's. God, could that be? Would that have grossed that much? No, I would.
Ding, you got it. Five Nights at Freddy's.
That's it, huh?
Yeah, jeez. Made a lot of money. $293 million for a horror movie. That's pretty high. The year before that, Smile. Year before that, the latest
Smile
Conjuring.
I was gonna guess Smile. Nice.
Yeah,
all right.
Smile was awesome.
I need to see Smile.
Barbarian was the better horror movie that year, but I still think Smile was really good. And then if I go back to, let's go back to our youth. 1985.
Okay.
What do you think that year? It's a big year for movies.
Horror movie in 1985.
Yeah, and I'll give you a sandwich here. 84 was Gremlins. 86 was Aliens. What was 5? 85.
Okay. Oh, interesting. 85.
It's a big gap in money made. It's weird.
Like way higher than
way
Gremlins
lower
and
so Gremlins lower. Made a ton of money, then this thing did kind of, and then Aliens made a ton of money, so 85 was not a great horror year, turns out.
It would have been what, 2 or 3 years into the Friday the 3rd? Freddy Krueger Dream Warriors.
Let's see if that's correct. Is it Freddy Krueger Dream Warriors?
Nightmare on Elm Street 3 Dream Warriors.
Where's the fart sound? I wouldn't have got this either. It's Day of the Dead. It's George Romero's Day of the Dead.
Oh, really? Okay. Day of the Dead.
Yeah. $34 million. Prior to that, though, Gremlins did $212 million. Aliens did $183. I mean, those are, by today's standards, those are like your top box office getters. Predator was your 87. Dreammaster was actually 88. So you were correct in the pick, just wrong year.
Dreammaster.
Oh, what were you thinking of?
I said Dream Warriors. Nightmare on Elm Street 3 Dream Warriors. That was 87, and I don't know where did that land in the list.
Doesn't say. Were they really back to back that year? You got Dream Master and Dream Warrior 1 year after each other? Jeez.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I believe it because first one was 84.
Right. That's correct.
And so two was 86. He just
kept doing them, dude. Look at that.
Yeah, it's like Beatles albums. Like,
yeah.
What are you doing? Oh, we're filming the next three Nightmare on Elm Street films before Heather Langenkamp ages out.
Yeah. Now, again, some of these, like Constantine's on here, The Sixth Sense. I don't know if I'd call Sixth Sense that. That doesn't feel like a horror movie.
Oh, as far as a horror movie?
It's more like a thriller mystery.
Yeah.
I guess you see dead people, but come on now.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Horror casts a wide net, or as Brian Dunaway would say, horror.
Horror. Horror.
Horror.
All right. I'm going to play a call we got, and I want you to help me understand it.
Cool. All right.
Because I don't get it.
Is this found audio? Is this going to be scary? Is it going to be...
I wouldn't call it scary. I would call it confusing, though.
Okay, good.
And maybe right. I'm just... You know how sometimes you hear a thing and your brain just cannot process whatever the hell it is. It's just me and you'll suss this out. So here it is.
Hey, Sightless and Blind. I'm about a month behind, but I think it's pretty funny that not too long after some guy threatens to commit pollution via suicide, you guys spend an entire segment talking about AI-generated images on the podcast. Anyway, pretty ironic. Love the show, Schmoes.
Help me understand the irony. Okay.
Yeah, so wait, somebody threatens to commit pollution via suicide?
Yeah, or suicide. I assume what he means is suicide via pollution, but I think he went back the other way.
I don't know.
But let's say it's either way. And then he says, and then you went on to a bunch of AI stuff.
Talk about AI. Yeah, it's...
I don't understand the irony. What is the irony? The person is confused, says Bobby Franks. Dr. Calhoun says meth. I mean, I don't want to cast aspersions at this person. I just don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah, I imagine. I'm sure that that there was just a point left out of that statement that would have made a lot more sense to us.
Yeah. Right?
So,
and I don't remember a conversation about a guy who tried to commit suicide via pollution. What does that even mean?
I don't know. Or his suicide would have caused pollution or something? I don't know.
Was that what it was? And then maybe AI is... Okay, so Dr. Calhoun says maybe it's because it's so much computational stuff used to make AI stuff that leads to pollution. That's a stretch, man.
That is a stretch. It does... I see where you're going, Dr. Calhoun. This is green light thinking here. There are no bad ideas.
No. Let's workshop that and come back to us because, man, I still don't get it. Well, whoever you were, they were anonymous, so I don't know who they were. But. Yeah,
give us more. Call back and give us a little bit more because we genuinely do want to know what you were referring to.
Yeah, and if you drunk or weed called us, that's fine too. We don't care.
Totally fine.
You call us in whatever state you're in. We don't care.
Yeah.
All right, there's that. Also, we got some confirmation on this whole why babies' heads smell good thing.
Oh, yeah.
Jerry Tolbert piped in, a doctor, a carrier of an actual medical license. He went to medical school. The guy knows his stuff.
He does know his stuff.
He said, the baby brain smell is totally made up concept. They smell good because of the stuff we cover them in. Fun fact, newborn babies don't really sweat much at all for the first few months that they're alive. That's why it can be really easy for them to overheat if you swaddle them too tightly or cover them up too much. They mostly thermal regulate through their breathing, kind of like a dog. Little tiny little pores, you know, in those babies. They don't have big pores yet.
By the way, I'm looking at the original text from Dr. Tolbert in this, and you took out Coverville was right that they smell good because of the stuff we cover them in. You did a little editing on this, Scott.
Well, I did that because we all were saying that, weren't we?
you were saying you weren't sure.
No, I did not. I said I 100% called this bullshit. I said from word go. In fact, I've been walking around the house proudly proclaiming what bullshit it was.
Which
probably just gave away who told me this. Anyway,
somebody in the house. The facts were coming from inside the house.
Somebody, I'll just say it because she said it on the Monday show last night. Carter had a friend at the office tell her this and was convinced of it. And
the brain smelled good.
Yeah, okay. And as soon as I heard it, I went, "This is horseshit. This is not true."
this is really just me doing the same thing. I saw that Coverville is right, and I'm proudly proclaiming it, much like.
Well, I mean, you were right. I just think we were all right. But anyway, the stinky sweat we associate with teenagers is stinky because the bacteria that grows in their particular types of sweat glands called apocrine sweat glands Sweat from those glands has a lot more fat content, which the bacteria chow down on, gross, and quickly multiply. As they are digesting the fats, they are releasing a lot of gases that smell bad. So it's essentially bacteria farts that you are smelling when you smell a sweaty teenager.
Gross.
Man, this is really going deep. Yet another bacteria random farts. Fact. Says, brains don't really smell especially sweet, especially when you consider the smell of blood to be somewhat sweet. I have smelled quite a few... for various reasons across the years, not something I want to do frequently. Yeah.
I imagine it just smells like iron, like that iron smell that you get from blood.
Like copper pennies, you know?
Yeah.
Gross. I don't want to hear about, I mean, maybe I do want to hear about some of his experiences, but maybe not all of them.
I'd like to find out the best story as to why you smelled a brain.
Yeah.
Just one. Just look at all the different brains you've smelled over the years and said, oh, you know, the third one I smelled, there is a funny story to that.
Yeah, I don't need multiples, just one. And why would people think, why would this other idea have come out? Like, why would people think the brain smells sweet in babies? And because of the thinness, like, where did that come from? That just seems insane to me. Like, I understand you're living in the 1800s and... I don't know. Yeah, the goat looks at you funny and you go, I think that goat's the devil, because you don't know any better in the 1800s, right? But in a modern day, who goes, well, I think babies' heads smell good because their brains are coming through the skin. Yeah. Who says that?
I don't know who comes up with that. They just don't have that filter of their skull hasn't fully developed. So the brain smell permeates through the skin and you're smelling a sweet brain.
It's freaking foul. All right. You went to your circus deal last night.
Yes.
Tell us.
It actually happened. Help, help. It's happening. Yeah. Paranormal Cirque. CIRQUE. All right. This thing was legit incredible. Like this is Cirque du Soleil level acrobatics and feats of strength and feats of skill and things like that. That is easily on the level with anything I've seen in a Cirque show or in a Vegas show. The whole thing is presented kind of like a Rob Zombie fever dream, where it's like you're everybody's wearing black leather and it's all weird, and red and black are the only two colors that are used throughout the whole thing. But they've got, you know, they start out with this cube in the middle of the floor, an empty, just the bars. And it's two guys who are walking around like zombies and jump up and basically swing and jump from bar to bar on the cube, further distances than you would kind of think people should be able to do that sort of thing and be able to catch the bar and miss and go over the bar and catch it with their feet and that sort of thing.
So by on purpose, that stuff, they're not
on. Oh yeah. Yeah. On purpose.
All right.
People doing incredible balancing. There was a motorcycle that rode on a tightrope with a woman suspended underneath, definitely providing some nice ballast, but still doing balancing acts while this motorcycle is going back and forth on this high wire. And then at one point they both spin around the high wire.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, really incredible stuff. This thing is, touring weird vertical stripes through the US right now. But if you're on the West Coast Stripe or the East Coast Stripe or the stripe above Denver and Casper, Billings, Edmonton, Red Deer, is really worth checking out.
Is there?
There's a lot of overlap.
We still don't know why they did this touring.
No idea why they're touring like that, but it's really interesting. But I just noticed that the three tours are going on simultaneously, so you're going to get different acts or at least at the very least different performers maybe doing the same acts.
Oh, wild.
But but it's called Paranormal Cirque, CIRQUE. Tina and I were both saying this thing would make a killing in Vegas, because there's enough people who want this sort of dark version of Cirque du Soleil that would flock to this thing.
Did it feel like it was at the scale of the Vegas ones? Like it's big enough?
Easily.
Yeah.
Easily. Yeah.
Well, they should do that. Get a residency
and enough
in there.
Stuff. I mean, it's a regular, and I watch Fool Us all the time. Penn and Teller's Fool Us. And I grew up learning magic and that sort of thing. And they did an act there that I know how they did it, but I can't figure out how they did so much of it. like they basically had a woman in a box. Box opens, disappeared, like she's gone, disappears. And it's like, all right, well, there's a bulge and there's like the table is misleading to make it look a lot thinner than it really is. It's actually a fairly thick table, and she can kind of fit. She's a slight woman and she can kind of fit in that hidden thickness of the table. Mm. And then she pops out. And I'm like, all right, yeah, it was pretty cool. Yeah, I know where she was. And then another one pops out. And then another one pops out. And four women pop out of this table.
Wow.
Where I was like, all right, I can see how there maybe is room for one, maybe two. And we're just figuring that they're like laid in there like a pack of kosher hot dogs. And each one, as they get out, they kind of help pull the other one over to the to the escape hatch so that when he lifts up the blanket, they pop out again. And
I would be claustrophobic in there.
Yeah, I would too. But it was absolutely really, really incredible stuff. So go see it if it's coming to your town. ParanormalCirque.com.
Nice. Wonder what it takes to get a Vegas thing. That'd be like a casino, a group approach you and say, hey, we got a opening this year or whatever. We got this room. This
yeah,
space.
We got, you know, so Katy Perry's leaving. So we've got space for a show and probably, I imagine people pitch them for residencies at hotels. I imagine they have a, you know, one of the guys from NSYNC wants to do a solo tour, and you know, Lance Bass wants a residency. They probably have a stack of people who've requested residencies or offered, and they just basically have to say, all right, how many tickets do we think we can sell to this? Or how about this horror Cirque show or this, you know?
Yeah. Cause isn't that basically what absinthe is? It's also, you know, body or whatever, but it's like another one of these kind of things. That's just
very much. Yeah. It's like a Cirque show that is, kind of like the weirdness of Moulin Rouge, that weird, Baz Luhrmann kind of mindset, but raunchier. Mm. And then they've got, I don't know if they still have, Opium at Cosmo. But that was like a Barbarella-style Cirque show from the same guys from Spiegelworld.
Oh, wow.
And then they've got a third one at Planet Hollywood that's something like something cowboy. That doesn't give me enough of a...
something cowboy.
Something cowboy. You lost me at cowboy.
That sounds interesting. They're making a new Barbarella movie.
Are they?
Yeah, with what's her name? Sydney Sweeney's in it.
Oh, Hollywood's current it girl.
Yep. She's all over the place now. Yes. And let's see, it was somebody kind of cool directing it. Barbarella remake. Who was this?
I wonder if she'll find a way to take her clothes off in this one, because you'd think a movie about a nun. Mm-hmm. You'd think she wouldn't have to, but apparently there's nudity in her new nun movie.
That's right. Well, plus my memory is... what's her beak? Jane Fonda was naked in the Barbarella deal, right?
She was, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Here it is. Who's making this?
But it was very, wasn't it super like from a distance nudity, or I remember watching it again for Film Sec. And
I can't remember.
Yeah.
It's completely faded into my memory.
Sarge. Even nuns are naked sometimes. Yeah, good point.
That's true. Some parts of their day, I assume.
Yeah.
I don't, they don't have a director attached. I thought they did. So, oh, well, I mean, that could be dumb or great. I don't know which. Probably more dumb than great, but.
I feel, yeah, maybe we just haven't found the right thing for Sydney Sweeney yet, but she, her comedy, her turn on SNL did not impress me at all. And I'm sure she was great in Euphoria, but.
Yeah, she was really good in that.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking in that. She was one of the better actors in it.
Okay.
All right. Let's move on to some news, everybody.
Yeah, news.
Let's inform and entertain. It's time for the news brought to you by...
A guy and his imaginary friend take on the finance sector.
Any guesses as to...
Well, you're talking about one of my favorite movies. I think you're talking about one of my favorite movies. I mean, if the imaginary friend is Tyler Durden, then that's what I'm going with.
All right. You are correct. It is Fight Club. Seems like an easy one, but I liked it, so I picked it.
Yeah,
I have a list of these. I'm not making them up. I found them somewhere.
Cool. I like it. I'm not going to look for that list. I'm having a good time sussing these out.
So far, you're I don't think you've lost one. You're like four for four.
I haven't missed one yet, I don't think.
Yeah, so I'm well done. Here's a story about scientists who kind of screwed up. They made a mistake. They were supposed to make mice, some genetically altered mice. And where mice need to reproduce. Mice need genitalia.
They need genitalia, yes.
Yeah, but they grew legs where that was supposed to be. And that was a mistake.
Oops.
Yeah, it's not great. If you're the mouse, I guess it's not great for them. Turning off a gene early in mouse development led researchers to end up with an accidental six-legged mammal version of the mouse.
Oh, wow. So it grew two legs in place of its,
yep. They have a little, what do you call it? X-ray looking thing. Here, let me pull this up. Okay, like not an X-ray. What do you call it when you do the woman's, you're checking the baby?
Ultrasound.
That's what it looks like. Huh. But those highlighted parts are the various legs.
They're glowing like I'm on the Haunted Mansion ride at Disneyland.
Yeah. They do look like a black light would make them even brighter.
Yeah, exactly. So the two purple ones are the legs where a penis should be, basically.
Yep. Yep. It's kind of a bummer for the mouse, I suppose. Or I don't know. Maybe this is a whole new way of living.
Yeah.
Anyway, it says here the strange result took the spinal cord research of developmental biologists Anastasia Lavosky and Moses Malo and their colleagues in Portugal's Kulbenkian Science Institute. Something like
Decimal
that.
Chain.
Decimal
what?
Chain. It says, I didn't choose the project. The project chose me. The scientist. The team compared 10 to 17-day-old mouse embryos with and without functioning versions of the gene in the question, which is TGFBR1, which codes for the receptor protein by the same name. That contributes to a signaling pathway that gives the forming body its trunk-to-tail directions. The pathway provides a create-a-limb-here sort of, you know, command. And the external genitals instructions to the developing embryo cells, just like people, like any other mammal.
Sure, sure. You're following the little IKEA instructions inside your body, and it's like, okay, all right, place limbs here.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And they screwed up those instructions, and now this poor mouse is walking around on six legs. So congratulations, spider mouse.
And has no penis.
And no penis. So that's good.
It's true. This mouse has no penis.
It's good, though. It won't reproduce and cause, you know, further harm.
Who knows? Maybe it, you know, maybe it operates with finger guns. Pew, pew, pew.
I'd love that. That'll be a great follow-up.
Without getting any further descriptive. Isn't it funny, by the way, how you look at this mouse embryo on the left on this page, and it looks like it could be dog, could be cat, could be tiger, could be.
Yeah, that could be anything. I don't know that's a mouse.
It could be anything. Like mammals.
It's like a potato.
There's mammals that kind of all have a very similar looking embryo.
Yeah. Plus these are, it looks like to me they've, the overlay of these brightly colored limbs are actually 3D renders.
Yeah. Oh, I'm talking about not the.
Oh, down here. I didn't scroll.
Down here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Scroll down a little bit.
Yeah, if it wasn't for that tail.
If it wasn't for the, well, I mean, you know, still would be. Yeah, I guess the tail is very mouse-like, but still, I mean.
Yeah, could be a dog.
Could be a dog. It's got a very dog-looking face.
Yeah.
Or a tiger-looking face.
Yeah. Either way, I'd keep it for a pet. Oh, look at this. All these arms on this one.
Boy.
I didn't see this picture before.
It's funny. So. We should see if there's a story behind that.
No, I just hadn't scrolled down and seen it. Anyway, that's pretty cool.
Oh, Tally's here. She could give us any further. Is there anything else we need to know, Tally, about these? I know you.
Hers is all brain science, right? Is there any? I thought it was all brain science for her.
But she worked with mice, I think.
Oh yeah. Yeah, did you guys have, what did you guys all do with mice? Was it a bad scene in your PhD course where you were like, I don't know, wrecking mice like this?
Did you put, since it's neuroscience, did you have any limbs where brains should be for these mice?
Yeah, what did you guys do? Yeah, we want you to type it all out, Tally. That's what we're saying.
Yes, son.
We ain't got no time for a call. Sorry. All right. One final note, Chechnya has banned all music that is either too fast or too slow. So, Brian, take your library somewhere else. I'm sure you've got selections.
That seems so subjective.
Doesn't it, though? Here's what they say. The Russian Republic is said to have ruled that all music should, quote, correspond to a tempo of 80 to 116 beats per minute. The Culture of Ministry made the announcement in a statement earlier this week, according to the Moscow Times. The new standard of music is relatively slow compared to a lot of modern day pop music and would rule out a number of Western genres from being played publicly in the conservative Islamic society. It says here the Republic's leader, Ramzan Kadyrov, instructed Ramzan's a great name. Love that.
Ramzan.
instructed Cultural Minister Musa Dadayev to make Chechen music conform to the Chechen mentality, he says. Borrowing musical culture from other peoples is inadmissible. This ban was reportedly announced following a meeting between the Republic's ministry and local and regional artists. Yeah, I don't like any of that. I don't like that at all.
No.
That's not cool.
So let's see here. All right. Do I have some of these.
Can you tell what their beats per minute are?
I have beats per minute plugged into a few songs. So, Nirvana's cover of David Bowie's Man Who Sold the World. You know that one?
Yeah, I like that one.
I know we're like at the, 30th anniversary of Kurt Cobain's death. Yeah. Do you want to guess what the beats per minute? Would that be inside or outside this?
Let me think. I'm going to say it would fit, that it'd be okay.
It does fit. 114, though, barely fits.
Ooh, barely fits. Okay. Oh,
Stone
man.
Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Wait a minute. Why is that? That can't be right. Why is that coming up? Something's wrong here with that. Okay. All right. Let's not do Stone Temple Pilots. Give me somebody else. Let's David Bowie.
All right.
And we'll give you a song.
China Girl.
China Girl. Do I have that one?
My little China Girl.
Oh, I do have the BPM on this one. Yeah. All right. Within or out, in or out of the Chechenian okay. Deal.
Let me imagine it.
I'm a mess without my little China Girl. Wake up in the morning, where's my little China girl?
I'm going to guess it is still in the range.
It is outside the range. Damn 134 it. Beats per minute. That's a fast one. It doesn't seem like it'd be a fast one, but it is.
Yeah, it's hard for me to hear it in my head.
Yeah.
Let's try one more. Give me, do you have a copy of, I can't think of a good song that I think is going to be in the middle. This is hard.
It is hard.
Which is why it's such a stupid law.
Yeah, Love Shack.
Oh, Love Shack's got to be out of it. It's got to be too high.
Yeah, 132.
Oh, same as... beats per minute. It's the same as China Girl? Really?
Same as China Girl.
That surprises me to hear that, actually. That's funny.
Private Idaho, you're living in your own private Idaho. That's a big one. That's a fast one. 166 beats per minute.
What's the high? Can you sort by highest?
Oh, I bet I can. Let's see here. This will be interesting. The highest BPM in my library. Well, this is a highly inflated number, I believe. 30,720 beats per minute.
What?
I'm even going to call bullshit on a couple of these because Boulevard of Broken Dreams somehow got clocked in at 200. I know it's not. It's a slower song, but I think it might be. It looks at the that the song begins with and might see that as the speed.
Oh, I didn't know if that was automatic or if you had to put it in like metadata or what, like manually.
No, it was there was a program that I had that I at the time loaded my whole library into so that I could create workout playlists of songs. Yeah. They were all the same same beat. Let's see. When we start getting into the 180s, we've got stuff like Leaving on a Jet Plane, but the version by Slightly Stupid, which I believe is on. I totally believe that's 180 beats per minute.
Can't think of that one.
Let's see.
Because I'm believing.
Yeah, but it's the fast one. Trying to find a good, like a good popular song here.
Chad's like, what's the lowest one? I'm sure there's some zeros in there because they just aren't right.
Well, there's some that just don't have a number logged. So the lowest one I have logged in here looks like 64 beats per minute.
Oh, that seems reasonable.
No, I guess 60 beats per minute. So basically a beat every second. Zeratul's warning from the StarCraft II Wings of Liberty soundtrack.
Oh, wow. Do you have any that are 72, which is exactly my greatest, resting heartbeat?
The Greatest Love of All by Whitney Houston, 60 beats per minute.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm sorry.
My resting heart rate is 72. Do you have anything that's exactly 72?
Let me give you a 72. Sure.
I'll sleep with it. I'll see if I can sleep with it and it'll keep my heart rate the same.
Let's see. Lots of 70s. Get me to the 72s. There's the 72s. Okay. Mad About You by Belinda Carlisle.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Yep. Girl by the Beatles.
I like that song too.
So far, so Raindrops good. By Basement Jacks.
Nice.
Let's see. Let me find another good one. Billy Idol, Cradle of Love. Cradle of Love is 72 beats per minute.
Wow. Really?
We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel.
Yeah.
Claims to be 72 beats per minute.
It claims to be.
Claims to be. I think that's a faster one. Yeah, that's that.
Here's a song that would not make it in Chechnya. That kind of stuff would not make
Definitely
it.
Definitely would not. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And that's just some AI created thing. Here's the worst part.
Right.
That right there?
Yeah.
Ain't happening. Forget it.
It's not gonna work for your.
No, they're gonna go full John Lithgow on that. I guess it's dancing in Lithgow's case, but
right, yes,
they're not gonna be happy about it. All right, we are gonna take a break though. When we come back from this break, because today's been full of various bits of trivia, we decided to add one more and have TV's Travis
Gosh.
On. He also got a little phone call directed at him, which we'll play when he gets here. But that'll be after this song break. Speaking of music, Brian, what did you bring for the middle of the thing here today?
So you remember the film American Pie, Scott? They had those basically four friends who were just all trying to, I guess, get laid. I can't remember. I think that was what the plot of that movie was.
Sure.
And so you had the main guy, right? You had that dude who boinked a pie. You had Stifler. Mm-hmm. You had the jock dude who joins the choir, and then you had the fourth dude. Well, that fourth dude is a guy named Thomas Nicholas, and he actually fronts a band as well. He was the little kid in Rookie of the Year. There's another connection, Hollywood connection. He has a brand new album called, let's see, the album is called, or is this just a single? This is just an EP. It's called Wrong Side. Just came out. This is the Thomas Nicholas Band, and this is the title track featuring the early November. Here is Wrong Side.
I got no place to go. Stuck in the loop. I wonder if you know what I did to try. To satisfy, feed your appetite, be what you desire. Lie to myself to think that I could push me aside. This would pass us by and we'd be alright. I'm living on the wrong side. Start
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
They seem to be humanoid with the characteristics of bees.
Fried bees covered in bacon cheddar ranch flavoring.
And we've returned. Tell me more about ex Pie Man. Musician.
Sure. This is the Thomas Nicholas Band from a brand new EP called Wrongside, and that is the title track featuring the early November. And yeah, you know, Amy just reminded me, Stifler wasn't one of the original, like, wasn't one of the four. He was this kind of outside character, yeah. Which means there are two guys now. I can't remember their deal, but this is the dude that I think wanted to get with Tara Reid, if I remember correctly.
I think so. He was like the nerdy, yeah. Quieter one. I think.
Yes, correct.
I think that's the guy.
The shortest one of the four.
He's the one that did the terrible thing to the orange juice, if I remember right. And then Stifler got the orange juice. Do you remember this part of the movie? Because I'll never forget. Yeah. It'll stay with me for all time.
Yeah, I remember that somebody did something.
Pretty sure it was him. Pretty sure him and Tara Reid did a thing to some orange juice, and then Stifler drank it.
There we go. Yeah, I think that's right.
Yes. And then Stifler hurled somewhere. That movie, it's a very uncomfortable film. I don't remember much, but I do remember all that crap.
You remember orange juice getting tainted.
Yes. Yeah, let's call it tainted is the word. Let's get a non-tainted individual in here. His name is TV's Travis, and he is currently untainted. He is the untainted, and he'll be joining us as I hit his little intro here, which if I could find it would be great. Where is it?
This is Travis, and you'll do well to listen carefully to what he has to say.
Hello, Travis. What's up, man?
Oh, just another day in paradise with the sun out all day instead of being covered partway through.
Oh, well, that's, you could have used that today than yesterday. No, flip it, you know, and then yesterday you'd have had a better look at that, at the big moon deal, the moon sun deal, you know?
The eclipse, yeah, sure.
Yeah, that would have been way cool. I always forget what part of the country you're in. What state are you in?
I'm in Michigan.
Michigan. And did Michigan have a decent view if the clouds weren't there?
Actually, yesterday wasn't too bad. We only got to like 88% coverage, so it was just sort of twilight around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which is eerie.
It is eerie, right? It's cool though. I like it.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
66% here, and got a little twilighty, but not quite as twilighty as you got. We didn't have sparkly vampires level of twilight.
No. I hope not. The 2017 one was like that. It just kind of changed the atmosphere for a little while, and that was really cool. I could have used more of that. Well, anyway, good to have you here. Oh, I saw something interesting yesterday. I put it somewhere. I think I put it in Discord. Anyway, let's see if I can find it real quick. Somebody had done a check on Google Trends yesterday. And at about, let's see, the same time of day. I don't have the exact same time of day here, but there are two search phrases that showed up that have been kind of just down here at the bottom forever and ever and ever, and then shot up. Both these things just went shling into the sky. One was my eyes hurt, And
oh, no.
And why do my eyes hurt?
Oh, no.
There's no way that's, you know, like an anomaly. That had to have happened because of either dumb people or those glasses didn't work or something. Or people got cheap ones.
They were probably, they probably got ones that weren't ISO certified lenses. Oh, jeez.
I mean, that's...
Why do my eyes hurt?
Yeah, what's going on?
It strangely happened as soon as I looked at the sun, but I can't find any sort of correlation.
Yeah, it's like there's another great one of these happened once when somebody gathered reviews on Amazon right around the time that COVID hit. There were people on candle reviews saying, I can't smell your candle. I'm returning it. Or this is the worst candle I ever bought. Because they couldn't smell it.
But if Paltrow, this candle does not smell like.
Yeah.
Ooh, geez.
So I'm there's that.
Maybe right not now. A bad thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, it's good to have you here. We're going to do like we do every month with Travis. He's going to throw some questions at us and see how we do. Yeah. Travis, take it away. What's our? Oh, I got to play your call. Let me play this call.
Oh, okay.
This is for you. I thought it was interesting. Here you go.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Great episode with TV's Travis. I was calling to ask, all of the questions were centered around individuals who are African-American. Was this done on purpose, or was this just a coincidence? If it was done on purpose, that's really cool. If it was a coincidence, then that's cool as well. Seeing how it's Black History Month. So, just wanted to call and, get your thoughts on that question, and great show today.
So, how did that go last month during Black History Month? Or I guess it had been February, right?
Was that? It would have been February, yeah. And, caller nailed it. It was
definitely
it
on
was
purpose.
All themed.
And,
It was, yeah.
Oh, okay. It was the one where you asked about, I think, Lawrence Fishburne and...
We had In Living Color. We talked about the show. Denzel Washington, Spike Lee, Sidney Poitier. So I'm really glad that that someone picked up on that, because I do try to come up with something themed for my categories and my answers every month.
Nice.
I like that.
So it's fun when somebody picks up on that. Last month's, by the way, had to deal with, because I was going to Adepticon, I tried to theme it around Warhammer type stuff or springtime.
Yeah.
One or the other.
How'd that go?
That's why we had Event Horizon and
I think you had one that was a Highlander. Yeah.
How'd it go at the con? Was that cool? A lot of Warhammer craft?
Oh, it was so much fun.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I played the first games of 40K I've ever played. So
cool.
Nice.
But yeah, it was a ton of fun. I've already got stuff planned and working on for next year, and I can't wait.
It's funny, course, people think of Warhammer.
Spend real money.
People think of Warhammer, and they're like, "Oh, it's just you just move you guys around, you take your turns." But there's like you got measuring tapes, and it's not like a simple grid where you're like, "Well, I need to move three spaces." There's no such thing.
Yeah, right.
It's like we got to get around this mountain or around this volcano. And you can only move so much during a turn, and you got to like measure that shit. It's crazy to me watching people play that.
Yeah.
It's cool though.
Yeah, it really, really is. I mean, the friendly tournament that I did was a little more lax, which is fine for me, but you get into some of those hardcore tournaments and it's like down to the quarter inch they're measuring and making sure. It's just crazy.
your bullet would reach and then just drop because it's not quite far enough for your for your bullet to reach.
Yeah, the video games do it different, but there's one game, one of the video games called, shoot, forgot the name of it. It's real good though, and they try to adhere to that method of play. So most of the Warhammer games, they'll give you grids and they kind of make it gamey, they gamify it. Mm-hmm. But this one, cannot remember the name of it. But it's,
is it the newer one, Rogue Trader?
Not Rogue Trader. No, that's more like that's more like an RPG, Baldur's Gate style. Yeah. This is more like, not Mechanicus. Cannot remember it, but you basically play it like a real Warhammer game, and the distances are all done by measurement. There's no grid to anything. It's really good, and I cannot remember the name of it. It's on Game Pass. It's not Tacticus. Shit, I can't remember it. Anyway, I'll try to think of it before the end of the show. Well, Travis, let's get to today's thing. What are you going to do for us?
All right. So, as always, we're going to do five rounds, best of five between Scott and Brian. I will give you a category and what your clues will be. You will bid on how many clues it will take you. And this month, we're going to start with Brian. You get the first bid. Our first round is a director. And we're going to go by titles that this director has done.
List of movies, name the director. This is this is where Scott excels. And I, so I kind of want to play it, force him into an aggressive play.
Sure. No, I totally get it.
I'm going to say three movies.
Three. All right. Ooh. Three movies. Scott, damn. Can you do it in less than three?
I mean, I feel like with directors, if you know who directed a movie and that movie happens to be in your list, then you don't need more than one. But
that's true.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for it. Let's try two.
Okay. I'm going to try in two. Okay. Yeah. Two. So, Scott, here are your titles.
Yeah.
The Informant. The Limey.
Michael Mann. Watched? Michael Mann? No?
Incorrect.
The Informant's not... What am I thinking of? Shit!
Incorrect.
You just watched Limey too, didn't you?
No. I've seen Limey.
Oh, shit!
I have seen that. Yeah, that's where I realized what happened. The Informant. What am I thinking of with Michael Mann, the smoking one?
That was the one Matt Damon, right?
The Informant. Russell Crowe. Matt Damon. You're thinking of The Insider.
Oh, The Insider is what I'm thinking of. Because he informed on the tobacco industry, and Russell Crowe was in it, and Al Pacino, and oh my gosh. All right. Sorry, I screwed that up. Big old fart for me.
Really hoping he'd accidentally give me some more information that would help me. All right, The Informant and The Limey?
Yeah.
Oh, I got nothing.
That had Miles O'Brien in it, The Limey.
Did it?
Yeah.
Was he the titular Limey?
No.
No,
but he was very good in it.
It was good.
Very Irish in it.
Yeah, because he's Irish. Yeah. Not a Limey. Not one of them stinking Limeys.
No.
Crap. I'm not going to be able to come up with anything. I'll say Guy Ritchie just to move us along, even though I know 100% that that's not a guy. Neither of those are Guy Ritchie films.
Correct. Neither of them are.
Yeah.
The director you're looking for is Steven Soderbergh.
Oh, Soderbergh.
Hold on. Didn't he do he did a whole trilogy of those. The Limey's part of a three part. It's like a trilogy, right? Like the Coronado trilogy, not really connected, but
more.
I thought there was.
Maybe.
I might be confusing that with a whole third director, as far as I know.
Could be. A couple others he did that were on my list were Haywire.
Yeah.
Magic Mike.
Yeah.
Oh. Logan Lucky, and then of Ocean's 11.
Yeah, I would have gotten Logan Lucky. It would have probably got me. I would have gotten that.
Mm.
Yeah, it would have gotten to Ocean's 11 before I would have been able to Sex, Lies, and Videotape. And that on the list.
I always forget Magic Mike was his. That always throws me.
I completely forgot it was his when I was making the list up.
I did too. Okay. Yeah, that does not seem like his style. All right. No. Well.
All right.
Okay.
Good start.
So no one takes round one. Round two, Scott, you get to do. The start our bidding. We are looking for a movie title based on the cast.
Movie title based on the cast.
Actors, not characters. You're going to give us actors.
And you're going to give how many actors are you going to give? Or is that the question? How many actors?
That's what you're betting on.
Okay. All right.
That's how the game works, Scott.
All right. I thought it was like sets of actors. You know, like you'd say, some of these three people, or is it these three? That's what I thought you were going to do.
Okay.
Oh gosh. I'll say four.
Four? Okay.
Yeah.
Four. All right, Brian. You think you can do it in fewer than four?
I'm gonna try three. I'll take three.
Okay. Three actors. So here you go, Brian. Here are your three.
Oh, he gets to counter though, doesn't he?
Scott. Do you think you can do it in two?
No, I think Brian should try in three.
Okay. All right, I'm going to try in three.
Here are your three. James Woods, Alan King.
Shit.
And Kevin Pollak.
Damn it. I know this.
Okay. It's coming to Scott before it's coming to me. So James Woods, Alan King, Pollak.
Kevin Pollak.
Kevin Pollak. It's that Cats... it's the anthology. The Stephen King, James Woods is trying to stop smoking. Alan King is the guy who's going to help him stop smoking. I don't remember Kevin Pollak in this, but Is it called Cat's Eye? Cat's Eye.
Cat's Eye? Incorrect.
It is Casino.
It is Casino.
Oh, okay.
The Alan King part's one that got me. I couldn't remember Kevin Pollak for sure. I was like a little iffy on Kevin Pollak, but the other two.
Alan King and James Woods definitely in Cat's Eye, but apparently, yeah, not Kevin Pollak would have been 18 or something, and probably.
It would have been way too easy to do, you know, Sharon Stone, Joe Pesci, Robert De Niro.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
And for full disclosure, I saw Casino not even a month ago, just really? A rewatch, yeah, because I just love that movie. So almost not fair.
Fair is, you know, It's not like Travis said, oh, Scott's seen Casino, let's do that one.
Yeah.
Dang it.
Yeah. All right, great. So we're 1-0 in favor of Scott moving into round 3, which is our musical round.
Oh, good.
Well, I'm screwed.
So, Brian, you get to start the bidding on this round for a song. I have clips of 2, 4, 8, 10, and 13 seconds.
Okay. So if I say 4 and Scott says 2, I can't counterbid because there's nothing
below that. Yeah.
So I'm just going to say 2 seconds.
2 seconds? All right.
2 seconds.
I'm going to say name that thing. You know where I'll get it.
Brian, here are your 2 seconds of this song.
It's Frank Sinatra. Luck Be a Lady.
That is correct.
Gosh dang it. I even knew that one. Now I also get the theme here that we got going today.
Yep.
Got a real Vegas theme happening. A
little Vegas theme. I wonder why. Why Vegas theme?
I can't imagine where that would come from.
Yeah, weird, man. Weird. Nicely done. Jeez. That ties us up then?
That's good. That ties it up. 1-1, right. Moving into round 4.
Oh, gosh.
Round 4 will be Scott starting the bidding. We're looking for an actor. We're going to go based on titles of movies this actor was in.
Okay. I can do it in 4.
4?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 4, Brian.
I'll try 3.
He's going to try 3. Scott, you can go for 2 or make Brian guess it in 3.
So my original strategy was, if he says 3, I can still do 2. But now I'm scared. Now that we know the theme, I'm going to attempt 2. I'm going to try. Yeah. It's the only shot I've got.
You've got a category, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. That's good game theory. All right, Scott, here are your 2 titles. King Creole, G.I. Blues.
Something just fell. Okay, give me those titles one more time.
King Creole, G.I. Blues.
Shit. This is an actor. These are movies?
Yes.
Those are movies.
Oh, G.I. Blues. This is some old 50 shit. That is,
damn it.
That's Elvis Presley. Yes. Presley Elvis.
That is the king, Elvis.
Ah, I was really hoping I got him on this one.
Oh, wow.
I could hear Brian
G.I. Blues, I'm like, oh, I don't think he's going to get this.
What? You know what? That's a brilliant question, because in my head, I'm thinking, how's that casino related? Neither of those movies have any casino relation. And one of them, I don't even know, like the G.I. or the other one that's not G.I. Blues. Yeah,
King Creole. King Creole.
Yeah, I didn't even know what that is. But then G.I. Blues, he always did this thing where he was like in the army, playing music. Elvis is connected to Vegas. Boom!
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. Does that mean I win?
No, that's round 4. Oh. We've got one more round. Brian can tie it, forcing us into sudden death.
All right.
So, Brian, you're going to start the bidding. Round 5 is a TV show. Okay. We're going to go with cast members of the TV show.
Okay.
These are the actors, not the characters, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Actors.
Cast members. Cast members of the TV show. I will say, I really want to crack at this, so I'm going to say... could still do two. I'm going to say three.
Three? All right. Mm-hmm. Scott, you want to try and steal it for two and seal the win? Not that there's any pressure.
Well, game theory-wise, if I don't do that, then I'm counting on Brian getting it wrong and then me guessing it right. So I'll say I can do it in two.
All right.
It doesn't mean I will, but I say it.
Brian, you could steal it and try to get it in one.
Try to get in one? No, I don't think I'm going to do it. I think there are a lot of TV shows that one person could have been in.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. All right. All righty, Scott. Here are your two actors that were in this TV show. James Caan.
Oh.
Josh Duhamel.
Las Vegas. Las Vegas. Yeah.
Let's watch Lara Flynn Boyle get blown off the roof of a casino.
I was really hoping that. Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you. In my head, I was like, I hope this is Las Vegas because I know a lot of those actors.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, it's going to be Las Vegas or CSI or.
Or maybe what was the one?
I did look at CSI for sure.
What was the one that the man called Hawk was a spinoff?
Vegas.
Just straight Vegas. Yeah. I was thinking either that or Robert Las Europe. Vegas or something like
damn
that.
Damn it. So James Caan would have been the one. Like if I would have said one, you would have said James Caan, and based on the theme, I could have gotten it in one.
Because he did very little. That guy did very little television, and so
he really did.
Yeah.
He did,
so well, I can't. If you said to me, "Hey Scott, how many shows has he been in?" So I know about Las Vegas, and that's all I'd know about that guy. That's all
sure.
Okay. Whew, I feel like I got the lucky stick there on that one.
Nice job. Well done.
Whew, you did. But no, that to give Scott the win here, I think ties us up.
I think that my memory is that Brian was ahead as of last time, so we are now tied.
Yep, it is tied 2-2 after four quizzes in 2024. Yep.
That means May will be the biggest month.
Could you make it all 2-second song clips for me? Thanks.
I'm so bad at those.
Real good getting that in 2 seconds. So.
I'm so bad. Like, I knew that was Frank Sinatra, but I would have never gotten to Luck Be a Lady. I just wouldn't have done it. And he's enough of a connection to Vegas that he's already in the theme. So
he's already, Well, and there's other casino or gambling related Sinatra songs, I think. So
there's a few of them.
It's that sad one he does. Rock. We just watched 2049 again, and they have a hologram of him singing. I forget what one it is.
It's Fly Me to the Moon, isn't it, in that one?
No, it's where he goes like, but you're sitting there, something. It's a real lazy, like, everything's closed, I'm smoking, loungy.
Oh, yes. One from my baby, one
that's
for
it.
The road.
That's
Yeah.
See, I'm so bad. I wouldn't have remembered that. And I just watched it. Mm-hmm. So, Brian excels at the music stuff. Well, Travis, that was awesome. And I do look forward to seeing you and your luscious beard coming up here in a few weeks.
Just a couple weeks away.
Yeah. You excited? You pumped?
I am. I'm real excited. Yeah. I've got some projects I'm working on to bring with me, or a project to bring with me. We'll see if I can get it done in time.
Ooh.
And I've got, I'll have a present. I'll have presents from somebody for both of you.
Oh, wow.
Picking up tonight.
Okay. All right, then. Well, look at you.
I feel so bad because we've got so many people now, regular TMS regulars, who are going to be in Vegas. Bill's coming, you're coming. And I want to figure out a way to say, all right, we're going to make Taskmaster 8 people this year. But there's no way I'd have the time, or that, you know, KT Data and Hammond and Ducey would have the time to, like, do the editing and stuff. So I'm going to figure out a way, TV's Travis, for 2025 to incorporate you and Bill into Taskmaster somehow.
Nice.
Well, that'll be
fun.
Just
finally get rid of Wendy?
Yeah, Wendy. Just kick her right out. Yeah. Freaking screw her. She doesn't know anything. Well, that's great. I love that idea as well. Travis, have a safe time before we see you. And look forward to it. Make your beard blue so that's what I remember. All right?
so the prophecy can finally come true.
Yeah, I need this all to be true eventually. Well, there you go. That is Travis. Big thanks to him again for being part of this today. And we are done. There's not a lot to tell folks about except a new Monday show went up last night. And let's see. We've got... today's actually nothing. I have an appointment today with a doctor.
Hope it goes well.
Just a follow-up, yeah. Cool. Should be pretty simple, I hope. Nice. Nothing big there. You got anything coming up today? Anything publishing on feeds or anything?
I don't know if we've got a soundography coming out today. We might. I have to check and see if we're ready for me to post the next one. I think I could do a stream. I might do a little Millennium Falcon stream, which is really, I mean, if there's anybody watching this to learn how to build a Millennium Falcon, they're really going to the wrong place. They're listening or they're watching to hear me talk about everything that I can talk about while I'm building, because I don't want any dead air. So it's really just like a stream of consciousness, me talking during the whole,
nothing wrong with that,
the whole building process. So
nothing wrong with that. That's ASMR. Probably for
therapy.
Somebody
Millennium Falcon therapy is what it is.
Yeah. Some Millennium ASMR Falcon therapy. Get in there.
There you go. Exactly.
That's it for the rest of the show. Don't forget to check out our website. It's got links to everything we got going on. There are still a few tickets left for Vegas. If you are interested, there's links there. There's links at Vita TMS Vegas. All of that is at your fingertips if you just get on there and declare your ownership of said ticket. All right. So go check it out. Available now at VivaTMSVegas.com. And like I said, all else is at frogpants.com/TMS. Well, now we're going to take our leave with a song at the end. Brian, take it away.
Yeah. Katie Fisk wrote in and said, "Hello, sweethearts and bottle caps," two of my favorite Wonka candies. I think both. Oh, no, Sweethearts is not made by Wonka, but Bottle Caps, I think, is. Mm. April 6th is the birthday. We missed a couple days of my amazing fiance, Dave. We're getting married on July 5th, and I thought I'd do a double dedication in honor of his birthday and our upcoming wedding. We met at a swing dance in 2018 and fell in love so quickly, our friends and family were worried we were going to run off and elope. Now our non-eloping wedding is coming up, and I can't wait to start the next chapter of our forever lives together. Dave is the best dance and life partner I could ever have asked for and could never have imagined. In honor of all things Dave, could you please play a cover of either Dance With Me by Philip Phillips or Shut Up and Dance by Walk the Moon? Both songs are going to be used in our wedding. Thank you. And can I get a cover of the original Honk Ah?
Oh, you want the cover, do you? Okay.
She wants the cover, I guess. So
here it is.
Honk Ah.
There it is. It still resonates.
I did a cover of the cover. I did the cover of the Jimi Hendrix version of All Along the Watchtower instead of covering the original.
Ah, gotcha.
All right. Walk the Moon's Shut Up and Dance. I love that song, and I love this cover of it. This is by Matt Johnson. It's an acoustic version that he recorded for Live Lounge over there in the Beeb. 2016, this version came out. Here's Matt Johnson, not the one from The, and also not Scott Johnson's brother, but a whole different Matt Johnson altogether, doing Shut Up and Dance.
Oh, don't you dare look back, just keep your eyes on me. She said you're holding back. She said shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She said ooh, ooh, shut up and dance with me. We were victims of the night, the chemical, physical kryptonite, a helpless to the base and the fading light. Oh, we were bound to get together, bound to get together. She took my arm, I don't know how it happened. We took the floor and she said, well, don't you dare look back, just keep your eyes on me. I said, you're holding back. She said, shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She said, ooh, ooh, shut up and dance with me. One backless dress and some beat up sneaks, my discotheque Juliet teenage dream. I felt it in my chest as she looked at me. I knew we were bound to be together, bound to be together. She took my arm, I don't know how it happened. We took the floor and she said, well, don't you dare look back, just keep your eyes on me. I said, you're holding back. She said, shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She said, ooh, ooh, shut up and dance with me. I think I see a future, I realize this is my last chance. She took my arm,
I don't know how it happened. We took the floor and she said, oh, don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said, you're holding back. She said, shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She said, ooh, ooh, shut up and dance with me. Shut up and dance with me. Shut up and dance with me. Shut up and dance with me.
Get more at frogpants.com.
They're Japanese.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.